Today on Jay Sekulow Live, why your support matters for the ACLJ. We see a lot of victories happening, but we're getting fought on every single one of them.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And today we wanted to do something in our show, kind of put together for you what is the work of the ACLJ, the broad work of the ACLJ, if you will, which we do with your financial support. There's a couple different areas, the domestic fights, the foreign policy battles, and foreign legal battles, and the media advocacy. So I think you look at domestically in the courts, Congress, politics, all of that, foreign, we could go through all the different offices we have around the world, and this battles even against like anti-Semitism, the fight for Israel and the state of Israel. For us, that is a domestic issue because Americans care so deeply about the state of Israel, and so many of you do, but we also have an office in Jerusalem. So with ACLJ Jerusalem, that's because of your financial support that we're able to have that office. I think it's been there now about a decade. So again, we have our office at the European Center for Law and Justice that is operating in Strasbourg, France, working on many foreign policy battles like the, again, persecution of Christian and Christian minorities. And then the media advocacy, I think you get that. We do a lot of cable news. We do this radio broadcast. We film it for you. We bring it for you in this kind of context as well. But we also, again, are launching new programs like What's Next. You may have seen that on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Jordan Sekulow ACLJ. If you follow official Jordan Sekulow on Instagram or on my Twitter account, at Jordan Sekulow. You may have seen this What's Next and not totally understood what's going on. We'll tell you about that today as well. New ways to interact with people to get the message out that you support. And the work that we're doing to get that out, because you support that as well. We can't do any of it. The broadcast, the work, whether it's domestic fights, foreign policy fights, or media advocacy. I mean, when you look at the domestic issues, it's the fight for life. As we saw this week, the defunding of Planned Parenthood via Title X. It's religious liberty and constitutional freedoms that we're always fighting for, always looking at. Even some of these absurd attacks that we saw this week on the Electoral College is unconstitutional. Really, it was established by the Constitution. So you can amend the Constitution if you want to, but to call something constitutional, unconstitutional is kind of bizarre in this day and age after it's been enforced for so long. But we see those kind of issues. On the foreign policy level, yes, what has been so upfront has been protecting and standing with the state of Israel, fighting back against this growing anti-Semitism that we're seeing throughout the world, but even in our own country as well. So you're starting to see this crossover and, of course, a more interconnected world between foreign and domestic issues. But we have offices in places ready to combat that. Strasbourg, France, ACLJ, Jerusalem, working at the United Nations as well. And there's other foreign policy issues. Listen, persecuted Christians. The border security, what's happening on the other side of the border is important as well. We're working on all of that, the American Center for Law and Justice. And then what you may know us best for, because you can see us doing it, is the media advocacy. Not just this broadcast, but like the new web series, What's Next, which we're going to tell you about today on the show, and all of the different ways we communicate with you on a daily basis, radio, television. We've got email. We have all the different social media accounts. We can do all of this work only because of one thing. You support the work of the ACLJ. You donate, and then we're able to do this work. And we're able to expand, or we're able to try new things, to bring more people in, to educate more people, to get more victories, to win more, if you will, for the persecuted, for the state of Israel, for the unborn. And the list goes on and on and on. But none of it, there is no list without your support to the ACLJ. Donate today at ACLJ.org, and through the month of August, your donation is doubled. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So as we said, a couple of key items. One, Planned Parenthood, again, they try and take their case in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We've talked about this. This is their challenge to a defunding of Planned Parenthood through the family planning laws in Title 10. This was done by the Trump administration. So this, again, because you know divided Congress right now, it's difficult to get those issues in agreement with the current makeup of the House and the Senate. But the executive branch does have their ability to... Again, I think that this shows you what you can do if you're committed to the pro-life cause, and if you're committed as with those who are carrying out the functions of government, which I think is key, to again alter these programs so that Planned Parenthood is defunded, but also opening up resources to the pro-life community, which in the past has been discriminated by these laws. That you know, if you're pro-life, you need not apply. That you had to be in favor of abortion to basically qualify for any family planning services whatsoever, which is exactly opposite of what the law says. But it's how, again, we talk about abortion distortion in the United States, this idea that everything is treated differently if it involves abortion. That's what was happening here. So Planned Parenthood's lost again at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They've gone through every step you can go through in the circuit court, and Planned Parenthood no longer qualifies for the money, the $60 million in federal funding. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. Pat wrote in, can this money be reallocated to pro-life centers across our nation? Let me go to Cece Howe from our legal team. Cece, that is key here as well. This is not $60 million cut away from women's health.
Right.
But it's $60 million now available to those who are not necessarily in agreement with Planned Parenthood.
Right. So that you'll hear pro-abortionists and Planned Parenthood saying, you know, now you've lost. Now these women are not going to have access to these Title 10 facilities. That's an absolute lie. Again, an abortion distortion. Because previously, the regulations under Obama mandated that to receive these Title 10 funds, you had to counsel and refer for abortions. So you had almost 3,000 crisis pregnancy centers or pro-life centers that could not receive these funds. And currently, there are 4,000 Title 10 service sites across the nation, and Planned Parenthood only represents less than 400 of those. So you might be losing the 400, but now you've opened the door to almost 3,000 pro-life centers that have access to these funds. So actually, this Title 10 regulation has broadened the Title 10 facilities that people will have access to.
And for those of you who may be listening to the broadcast now and are newer to this issue or not as involved in this issue, these pro-life pregnancy centers, which provide a lot of the again, Planned Parenthood, which is reallocating a lot of services and really just referring people, these pro-life pregnancy centers across the country, if they meet these certain standards that you have to meet, you still have to meet standards under this under the legislation and under the funding from the executive branch. But if you meet those standards, then you can apply for these funds. And Planned Parenthood decided before the case, this was interesting to me as well, it was before the case, CC, was fully decided by the Ninth Circuit, they already announced, we're not going to comply with this. They thought they could win this in court.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, because abortion is their only business.
Yep.
So people don't, you know, when they try to say about screenings and other health care, that's baloney. Abortion is their only business. And it's funny because if you go on the Title 10 website, the government's website, they even say that, you know, Planned Parenthood is actually choosing to place a higher priority on the ability to refer for abortion and do abortions instead of continuing to receive federal funds to provide a broad range of acceptable and effective family planning methods. So again, they're laid wide open. They're only about abortion. They don't care about family planning. They don't care about women. They don't care about a lot of health services. They only care about abortion.
Our email is out today on this issue. So again, this is an important day for life as well. I mean, it would have, without talking about the legal case, and again, they're related, but this was a key day. And I'll go to Than Bitt in Washington, D.C. Than, this moment when you've seen the federal government's finally stand up for life, Republican, Democrat in the past, who are unwilling to take these steps, even though the power was within, because, again, executive branch, a decision on interpreting the Title 10 legislation, which is pretty clear on this issue, but had been, again, kind of misinterpreted in the past. This is a key moment for the pro-life cause on Capitol Hill and in Washington.
I would go so far, Jordan, as to say that previous administrations of both parties have just declined to apply the law in this case. I mean, look, it's one sentence. I'll read it to you. None of the funds appropriated under this title shall be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. It's very simple, Jordan. And yet CC is absolutely correct that previous administrations have turned this on its head and actually required that pro-life centers counsel and refer for abortion. So there has been a refusal to apply the law. And look, it's pretty ironic that this is only the first stage of compliance required of Planned Parenthood. This was only the written assurance, Jordan. They just had to put forward an action plan to separate their finances and their abortion facility. They could not do it, Jordan, and I can tell you conclusively why. It's because they perform more than 320,000 abortions every single year, and they only provide for about a combined 5,000 services to prenatal clients or adoption referrals. CC's right again. They are not in this business, and so therefore, they were not going to be able to make a case that they could apply for it under the law.
Well, when you're in a medical profession where you have to hide, which is what most of the abortionists have to do, and again, this idea that you kind of embrace this issue politically, but in real life, this is a pretty gross business to be operating in. So instead of allowing you to look at their books, I mean, that was the key, is they had to open up, file a plan, and Planned Parenthood decided, we don't want to do that. We're not going to give the federal government any more information than we have to already.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shell game, and it always is. They try to change the language. They, you know, shuffle around. It's smoke and mirrors always. They don't want to talk about killing babies, so they talk about a woman's access to, you know, health care. And it's about abortions, plain and simple. That's all Planned Parenthood is about. They want the business of killing babies. So they weren't going to open up their books, and they're not going to change their ways.
Yep. Let's go right to the phones. Jim in Virginia on line one. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you. I just want to rejoice with you about this $60 million win against Planned Parenthood. If you will, it represents $1 per aborted child since Roe v. Wade, and one step closer for retiring Planned Parenthood and Roe v. Wade. So thank the Lord. and for you too.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you're key. The statistics are about, you're about right on par with where it's been. So it's around 60 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. That's the amount of funding that is today. And again, I think it was key. Planned Parenthood, as we've underscored, could have decided to take a course to say, you know what, these funds are important to us. We need to separate these businesses out. But we looked, Cece, at the actual numbers as well. The number of Planned Parenthood operations that were actually qualifying for this, when you think about a nationwide program, it's not the majority of the of these programs. And now there's a whole, as we've said, there's a whole nother group of the pro-life pregnancy centers, which will now potentially qualify. It's not automatic, but potentially qualify.
Right. Absolutely. So we're talking about 4,000 Title X service providers. Less than 400 of them are Planned Parenthood. Yep. And then you have almost 3,000 pro-life centers who can now potentially, like you said, receive these funds. They have to apply for them. They have to comply. But because the mandate now to refer and counsel for abortion has been removed, these centers can actually get this funding.
All right, let's go back. I will do it when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are busy, but we will get to your calls. We're already starting to take phone calls on the broadcast. That's 1-800-684-3110. This is a key time to support the work that we do. You fight these battles along the way. You build case records. You build, again, the political work in Washington, working with administrations. But it's also, in this case, working with executive branch agencies, which in the past have been extremely hostile to pro-life positions and within that bureaucracy as well. So you know the pushback was extreme that the administration was facing to again, implement these kind of rules. But if you're committed, you can. There's no excuse for the administrations of the past who claim to be pro-life to not take this action. As you can see, what bold administrations could do. So we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, but we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. It's a key time for us. It's how we're involved in these cases. There's more of these cases coming up. There's cases on the Conscience Clause coming up as well. It's key. Whether we're filing California or New York or Oregon, we need your support as well. So you can support the work of the ACLJ by going to our website. That's aclj.org. And again, this is a great time to support our work, because whether you're a regular donor, you've never donated before, and you sometimes donate, whatever you donate right now is matched by our group of donors. So this, you double the impact of your donation. That's at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have launched this new web series, actually. It's called What's Next. I host it very quick. They're about 3 minutes, so you can easily share the videos. And we did it on purpose so that you could take these videos on issues that you care about, share them with friends and family who may not have the time to watch a long broadcast like ours or listen to a long broadcast like ours, but that would watch a video content about 3 minutes that would get them up to date on an issue. And if we tell them if they want to watch more, learn more about it, where to go. So this is called What's Next. We literally just launched it, but we've seen overwhelming support. Views of these videos, upwards of sometimes 100,000 people watching a 3 minute video on a topic that I guarantee you care about. We're going to play a couple of these for you today. Some of you may just be hearing the audio. I encourage you to check out the videos at facebook.com/JordanSekulow ACLJ. And again, you should be active there. So click like to my page there. That's facebook.com/JordanSekulow ACLJ. Because you're on Facebook and you like my page, you'll see in your newsfeed when there's a new What's Next video. So make sure you do that. So that's where the videos are. That's what we're doing. We want to give you an example of what a couple are like, just so you know. But it's because of your financial support. You know, we're able to get creative, use the video teams we have, the digital teams we have, and of course the resources we have to get out these pieces of video that we know may reach a different audience. And it may be a great tool for you to use to reach a new audience as well on a variety of topics and issues that you care about. So it's called What's Next. Here, let's take a listen. But let me encourage you first. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org so that we can make more What's Next videos. Keep expanding Jay Sekulow Live. Donate today. Your donation is double. That's aclj.org. Let's check out What's Next.
The first two Muslim women elected in the United States of America take a public position to stop funding and stop working with the state of Israel. You may have seen in the press conference with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, they're the first two Muslim women, not the first two Muslims ever, but the first two Muslim women to be elected to Congress. They've taken very strong political positions. You're basically seeing two members of Congress repeat talking points of very extremist organizations. In fact, they had a trip to Israel planned, but they don't want to call it that to you. They'll call it Palestine. Remember, it was Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives that was about to condemn Ilhan Omar for anti-Semitism and then pulled back. Didn't want to name her by name and wanted to start blaming both sides of the issue. We're seeing Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib be focused on, not just by the media because they're interesting, but also the party leaders are afraid to cross them in the Democrat Party. I think this is actually dangerous, so that's why we're talking about it. I mean, you always have to make that choice. Do you want to focus in on it? Are you giving them too much attention? Or are they getting so much attention that you need to break it down for folks? We have an office in Jerusalem. We had this office in Jerusalem before Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar were members of Congress. I believe, because of the attention that they're getting, likely we will have that office when they are no longer members of Congress as well. But if the Democrat Party keeps elevating this group from the left, I'll tell you, you could see these kind of members skate by, skate by, skate by, and you realize then they've been there a decade. If we put the spotlight on anti-Semitism and those who are peddling in anti-Semitism in the United States, we can still do something about that here. So go to aclj.org. We hope you join this battle with us. At the ACLJ, we are committed to defending life. And that includes the life of the unborn. And there was a very important victory, two in a row actually, out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals against the number one abortion provider in the United States, the number one abortion provider in the world, Planned Parenthood. And as you know, if you're someone familiar with our court system, the Ninth Circuit has not usually been a place very friendly for those who have a pro-life position. Usually we see cases coming out of the Ninth Circuit and we think, ultimately, we're going to have to try and appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court. But because of recent judicial nominations, the Ninth Circuit is becoming less friendly to those on the far left. The Trump administration's Department of Health and Human Services issued a new rule on Title X funding. Title X goes to family planning funding. And under that rule, which Congress authorized already, they could stop funding, so using our taxpayer dollars, organizations and clinics that promote or perform abortions. That means an organization like Planned Parenthood doesn't automatically get the funding and actually can automatically be denied the funding because of the fact that they do promote and provide abortions. Well, Planned Parenthood didn't like it when the Trump administration actually took that congressional law and implemented it through an HHS rule. So they challenged it in federal court and they took it to the Ninth Circuit, which they thought would be friendly. Now they lost right away at the Court of Appeals level at the Ninth Circuit on a 3-judge panel. So they thought, well, let's appeal it on bonk. Let's go to the full panel of the Ninth Circuit. Guess what? They lost again 7-4. Planned Parenthood could decide to try and take this to the Supreme Court, but they had a more friendly court in the Ninth Circuit than they will face at the U.S. Supreme Court. That is a significant victory for life. It is a loss of $60 million a year to Planned Parenthood. That means $60 million less of your taxpayer dollars going to fund the nation's abortion giant. But these fights don't end there. We represent a nurse right now, Cynthia Isabel, who was applying for a teaching position at Indiana University South Bend. And she was denied that position because of her pro-life position. You know what she was applying for? A maternity teaching position and a classroom position where she'd be teaching nursing students. Nothing to do with ever performing an abortion, but yet she was denied. Well, the ACLJ represents Cynthia Isabel. So not only do we fight for the life of the unborn, we also fight for the freedoms of those who hold pro-life positions so they're not excluded from public life or work positions where they're well qualified. If you want to take action on this, you can go to aclj.org. We have a petition that says very clearly, stop doctors and nurses from being forced to perform abortions. Don't make that a job requirement, whether it is the funding of $60 million, whether it is the fights for all the different life issues happening across the states right now that we're involved in as well, and whether it's pro-life speech keeping you from a job position you're otherwise qualified for. We're fighting at the ACLJ, but we're always ready for what's next from the abortion industry.
So you just got an example, whether you're listening to the broadcast right now or watching the broadcast right now, of what next is all about. And again, the best way to really see it is to go to, because especially a lot of you who are not able to watch it right now, and watch what you just heard. And I think by the audio alone, you saw how professional it was, even if you just heard the audio. But if you see the video as well, it puts it together in a very compelling way. I mean, there's things popping up. There's stuff showing. It's not just me standing in front of a camera for 3 minutes talking. We really work on these so that they're tight, about 3 minutes long, and you can easily share them with friends and family. This is something we're able to do advocacy-wise because you support the work of the ACLJ. We have teams ready here whose expertise is not just on these issues we talk about, but also putting together the issues and getting it out in shareable formats, bringing new people into the cause, which is, you know, when it comes to like a group like Planned Parenthood, you're not going to win the day against Planned Parenthood if you don't keep bringing more people in to your cause for life. Just one example of one of those issues that you can fight back on. So we've done that. We've launched it. We need your support. Absolutely. The month of August, we really need your financial support. Donate at aclj.org. Your donation will be doubled. It will be matched. So if you donate $30 right now at aclj.org, that's like giving and donating $60, but all you're charged is $30. It goes down from there and up from there. Donate today. Support the work of the ACLJ financially. Without that financial support, we can't be doing all the work that we do. Not just this broadcast, but the work itself. Go to aclj.org and donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And today we wanted to do something in our show, kind of put together for you, what is the work of the ACLJ, the broad work of the ACLJ, if you will, which we do with your financial support. There's a couple different areas, the domestic fights, the foreign policy battles, and also and foreign legal battles, and the media advocacy. So I think you look at domestically in the courts, Congress, politics, all of that. Foreign, we could go through all the different offices we have around the world and this battles even against like anti-Semitism, the fight for Israel and the state of Israel. For us, that is a domestic issue because Americans care so deeply about the state of Israel and so many of you do. But we also have an office in Jerusalem. So with ACLJ Jerusalem, that's because of your financial support that we're able to have that office. I think it's been there now about a decade. So again, we have our office at the European Center for Law and Justice that is operating in Strasbourg, France, working on many foreign policy battles like the, again, persecution of Christian and Christian minorities. And then the media advocacy, I think you get that. We do a lot of cable news. We do this radio broadcast. We film it for you. We bring it for you in this kind of context as well. But we also, again, are launching new programs like What's Next. You may have seen that on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JordanSekulow ACLJ. If you follow official Jordan Sekulow on Instagram or on my Twitter account, at Jordan Sekulow. You may have seen this What's Next and not totally understood what's going on. We'll tell you about that today as well. New ways to interact with people to get the message out that you support. And the work that we're doing to get that out, because you support that as well. We can't do any of it. The broadcast, the work, whether it's domestic fights, foreign policy fights, or media advocacy. I mean, when you look at the domestic issues, it's the fight for life. As we saw this week, the defunding of Planned Parenthood via Title X. It's religious liberty and constitutional freedoms that we're always fighting for, always looking at. Even these some of these absurd attacks that we saw this week on the Electoral College is unconstitutional. Really, it was established by the Constitution. So you can amend the Constitution if you want to, but to call something constitutional unconstitutional is kind of bizarre in this day and age after it's been enforced for so long. But we see those kind of issues. On the foreign policy level, yes, what has been so upfront has been protecting and standing with the state of Israel, fighting back against this growing anti-Semitism that we're seeing in, throughout the world, but even in our own country as well. So this, you're starting to see this crossover and, of course, a more interconnected world between foreign and domestic issues. But we have offices in places ready to combat that. Strasbourg, France, ACLJ, Jerusalem, working at the United Nations as well. And there's other foreign policy issues. Listen, persecuted Christians. The border security, you know, what's happening on the other side of the border is important as well. We're working on all of that, the American Center for Law and Justice. And then what you may know us best for, because you can see us doing it, is the media advocacy. Not just this broadcast, but like the new web series, What's Next, which we're going to tell you about today on the show, and all of the different ways we communicate with you on a daily basis, radio, television. We've got email. We have all the different social media accounts. We can do all of this work only because of one thing. You support the work of the ACLJ. You donate, and then we're able to do this work. And we're able to expand, or we're able to try new things to bring more people in, to educate more people, to get more victories, to win more, if you will, for the persecuted, for the state of Israel, for the unborn. And the list goes on and on and on. But none of it, there is no list without your support to the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org, and through the month of August, your donation is doubled. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So this is what happened. A real estate agent in Virginia, on August 2nd, 2017, she emails the Virginia Real Estate Board regarding a complaint that she had helped a client file against a third party for discriminatory practices in sales. And that one, a racial a complaint based off race, that someone pulled out of a real estate deal based on the race of the person that they had already agreed to accept. And then the Virginia Real Estate Board turns around on our client on just 15 days later, August 17th, and files a complaint against her for allegedly violating Virginia's Fair Housing Act. This is what the defendant's complaint said she did was unlawful. Unlawful. Just understand this, folks. A, Miss Carter's email signature line, which reads, quote, "For faith and freedom, Jesus love you, and with God all things are possible." B, Miss Carter's personal statement on her business website, which read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16, "I am available to you when you need me." And C, Miss Carter's bio and statement of core values on her business website, which speak of Miss Carter's belief that God has blessed her in her profession, her goal of operating according to the golden rule, and her commitment to putting God first. Adding equal to him, my clients come first. And this is literally a state complaint. And they go to her employer. I mean, Harry, this is what is important to point out. They go to her employer. So this is the licensing board going to her employer saying, you've got to start managing her. You've got to get her to take this down, and you've got to start watching all of her communications.
Absolutely. So it's a very convoluted case in one sense, but it's also very, very straightforward. So in essence, the anti-discrimination principle has been turned on its head. The Virginia Real Estate Board seeks to enforce the so-called anti-discrimination principle by discriminating against a Christian real estate agent. This Christian real estate agent, paradoxically enough, sought to prevent racial discrimination, which then exposed her to the risk that she would be charged with discrimination. Why? Because she overtly supports Christianity. She has Christian information on her website, perhaps on her card. And so now the Virginia Real Estate board has gone after her, arguably in violation first of Virginia law, and secondly, in violation of the United States Constitution. So among other things, our action, the lawsuit that we have filed on her behalf, charges the Virginia Real Estate Board with a violation of Virginia's state constitution, Article 1, Sections 11, 12, and 16, as well as bringing a charge under the First and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution. It's important to realize that the First Amendment to the United States Constitution protects what? The free exercise of religion. And yet, the state of Virginia continues to seek essentially to bar this real estate agent from practicing her trade unless she eliminates all references to Christianity. We believe that is beyond the power of the state of Virginia. It's beyond the power of the Virginia Real Estate Board. And we hope that the Virginia courts expeditiously deal with this complaint.
And of course, this first, in this state court filing, you've got the Virginia Constitution issue, which adopted one of the first religious freedom clauses, the first religious freedom clause in the country. It's on Thomas Jefferson's tombstone, actually. He was so proud of that. And so you've got the Commonwealth of Virginia and their state constitutional issues. Of course, you've got the larger U.S. federal constitutional issues and free speech and the free exercise of religion. And the list goes on there. And this targeting specifically, I want to just explain again, and I think this is important for you to all realize, this real estate agent went to the board because of a client who filed a complaint on racial discrimination. She was representing the client. She's the one who put forward, she was a real estate agent, she had the client, she put forward the complaint. Someone pulled out of a deal based off of race. That was the allegation. They see in her email, her reference, you know, her John 3:16, Jesus loves you, you know, in her email signature. And they then file a complaint against her 2 weeks later, 15 days later. I want to go right to Than Bennett in our office in Washington, D.C. Than, welcome back. This is pretty shocking to for people to realize. I mean, when we were first going through it today, as we're preparing, we're filing right away in federal court, that this is happening after... It feels like, you know, groups like the ACLJ and others that we've kind of, you know, handled this with most states, with most federal agencies, and they realize what they can and can't do when they're trying to go after people like this.
Jordan, in my view, this is nothing short of an abuse of the discrimination statute that the Virginia enacted. That statute exists to keep people from being discriminated against, typically her clients. They don't want a realtor to discriminate against clients. That statute is now being used to target her. And Jordan, to me, the statement in her signature line, for faith and freedom, Jesus loves you, and with God, all things are possible, to list that as evidence of discrimination is pretty shocking. And I thought it was also interesting as we were going through her clientele. Jordan, she has people of various faith backgrounds, Jews, Catholics, Muslims, Buddhists, different nationalities, including Kenyans and Vietnamese. Normally, Jordan, if you were going to see a complaint from a real estate board like this, it would be because the realtor was not agreeing to rent to someone of that background. Jordan, they could not make that complaint. They could not make that complaint at all. In fact, it was just the evidence of these statements of faith that they were targeting. And I would just close with this. Typically, when these kind of things happen, Jordan, the law and the Constitution are on the side of our clients. They're already right, but it takes someone standing up and allowing us to fight for them. Ms. Carter did that in that situation. Fortunately for her, the rest of the realtors inside that agency, though, Jordan, they stand to gain as well if this turns out the right way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I want to underscore what this state agency, because I think everybody needs to be put on notice out there, because there's lots of people who are listening to this broadcast right now, whether you're a real estate agent or you have any kind of license whatsoever to do your job by a state kind of agency or organization, attorneys, doctors, nurses, lawyers. I mean, the list goes on and on. Plumbing, everything you've got to have licenses for. Electricians have to have licenses for. And if you are working for one of these agencies, you should be on notice, because what she did here, she goes to a state board. Okay, they've got all these real estate agents in Virginia, thousands upon thousands. She goes to the state board on behalf of a client with a claim of racial discrimination, which is in the Fair Housing Act, the use of to specifically discriminate, like discriminatory housing practices, or not going through with a deal, even though someone's qualified, they've got their mortgage, they've got the loan, because of their race. So she actually brought that forward to the board. The board then turns around on her because of what she's got in her email address, Harry. I mean, that is exactly what happened here. So it shows you again that this kind of way of it's almost, they're also discriminating against people, like filing complaints with them, because they're showing that they will go to great lengths to go after you.
Absolutely. So realistically, it's the Virginia Real Estate Board that ought to be charged with anti-religious discrimination in this particular case. That's number one. Number two, if you look at the Virginia Fair Housing Code, section 3696.3, it states the following: the use of words or symbols associated with a particular religion, national origin, sex, or race shall be prima facie evidence of an illegal preference under this chapter. Well, I think they've got it precisely wrong. Attempting to prevent our client from including in her email signature the following: for faith, freedom, Jesus loves you, and with God all things are possible. Coming against Ms. Carter constitutes prima facie, in my view, anti-religious discrimination. In other words, in the United States, pursuant to the First Amendment of the Constitution, we have the right to communicate on a basis that we choose. And so it's also, in addition to violating her free exercise rights, arguably it violates her free speech rights. And so I think this Virginia law, number one, is unconstitutional within the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, and secondarily, it discriminates directly against our client.
And the ACLJ is taking action. This is our client. Again, I want to remind all of you who listen to this broadcast, we're not just reporting a story to you and saying how shocking this is. This is our client. We're going to court, and we're able to do that. We're able to represent this client here, in this case, specifically Mrs. Carter, because of you and your support to the ACLJ. Remember, this month is a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ is doubled. Go to aclj.org right now and donate. We need your financial support, and it's a great time to double the impact of your donation at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Article that Rachel Maddow read, it was slightly blood-curdling, because if you're going to defy someone as being a racist, that's only slightly blood-curdling to a liberal reader. She's a Rhodes Scholar. She knew what she was reading if she read it. It only slightly boiled her blood, but he's a racist. So I just think about that. I guess, you know, not easy. I mean, not difficult for Rachel Maddow to come to the terms that you're a racist. Doesn't even get her blood boiling. I mean, only slightly, at least. Take a listen. Bite 8.
This is the, you know, law review slash academic wordy bird argument that you can't really have a country, at least you can't have a country that works if you've got all sorts of different people in it, right? Surely it does not serve the cause of liberal democracy to ignore this reality. Right? That's how you know this is a highbrow argument for racial purity in the nation state when they say things like, surely everyone must admit this. Don't you just feel it in your gut? The author of this slightly blood-curdling, very serious law review article is named Stephen Menashe. The reason you need to know it is because Donald Trump just nominated him to be a federal appeals court judge.
Okay. So one, that's not what he says. He says that you've got to have something that unifies your diverse country. And in America, we have that because we're the United States of America. We unite around our constitutionally enumerated freedoms, the freedoms that we find in the Bill of Rights, in the amendments to the Constitution, into the laws, the political system where we elect our leaders in peaceful way, and we have peaceful transfers of power between presidents. No other countries have quite figured that out the way we have. Where they don't have, and even if they are kind of doing this form of democracy, let's say, no one has it as kind of, I'd say, well-timed. You know, we have the 2 years for House members, 6-year terms for U.S. senators. We have 4-year terms for presidents. And we know that as Americans, we give enough time to leaders based off what role we're electing them for to have an impact. So in the Senate, it takes long. You have to have much more staff. You represent an entire state. You're not elected to just one half of your state. You're elected for the entire state. House members, again, for the most part, though there are some who represent only their state, it's based more on population. So it's based more on the district and doing services. Then you can work your way up, but you don't start out in the House with a huge staff and so much to take care of. And you do as a senator. So you need more time to kind of get your way so you can actually represent your people correctly. And then the president gets 4 years to at least show the American people, this is what I'm going to get started, have some chance to actually get through on some things. So some things will start being executed, which is the executive branch's role. And then if you would like to continue on this path, you can elect me for 4 more years. But something's got to unify you, right? Or else, you know, but we're pretty used to that kind of system, right? You go to the other place that are labeled democracy, even in the state of Israel, where you do have that a democrat system, and it works in the sense that there's peaceful transitions of power. But we don't have so many of the, they're more in the parliamentary sense, parliamentary-style democracies where the leader, the prime minister, can be constantly called on to rerun, and you have new elections and different elections, you know, almost all the time. And you never really, the government gets to set, not a constitutional document, but the government in charge gets to set when the next election will be and gets to put these terms out. I'm not saying one is necessarily better than the other, but here in the United States, I think we have one of the most predictable and functioning methods of democracy and the greatest in the sense of scope. Yes, India is the world's largest now, what they would call democracy. We do a lot of work in India. My wife started an organization called One Life Movement that's in India, I will tell you, and this is someone who really enjoys visiting the country. It is not a democracy in the terms that we kind of understand it from a lot of people in India. And that doesn't mean it's not on the right path, and it's a long path, but I'll tell you, I mean, again, it takes a long time to get election results, a month to get election results, and so many people voting, so many people in difficult spots. But I'm taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 because I'm not going to let it stand for this a nominee like this who happens to be Jewish to come from backgrounds as diverse as what Than went through to be called a racist and then not qualified by people like Rachel Maddow. And surprise, surprise, who's echoing the same message as Rachel Maddow, Andy? The Council on American Islamic Relations. Yeah. I'm sure that's where she was even, she didn't even know about this until CARE probably put the press release out.
Well, you know, you have this vitriolic, shrewish language that she uses, and this is Rachel Maddow's forte, and this is what she traffics in, but I don't think that she has even read the article that is in question here. And I've read parts of that article, and here's what this judge of the Second Circuit said, and I want you, someone, to tell me what's wrong with it. Self-government requires a political partnership in which individuals are willing and able to regard one another as equal members of the policy's community. Democratic self-government depends on national fellow feeling, the capacity of citizens to identify with each other. Ethnic ties provide the groundwork for social trust and political solidarity. What in the world did he say that is un-American, Islamophobic, erroneous, unconstitutional, improper, or anti-anything that we stand for in America? The man made a statement that is absolutely succinct in what it says in terms of what our government is all about. A political partnership in which we regard each other as equal members of the community and depending on national fellow feeling and identification with each other. Ethnic ties, and that means the ties of us as Americans, because ultimately the ethnos in Greek means the nation. She needs to learn what the word means. Look it up and read it. Ethnos means the nation. In Greece we say zito to ethnos, long live the nation. We don't say long live the Poles, the Armenians, the Greeks, the Slavs, the Russians, whatever. We mean the nation. And those ties provide the groundwork for what? Social trust and political solidarity. There's not one thing that he said that was wrong.
No, this is, again, this is being spun. So it looks like she started this tirade on the 15th of August, and CARE came out the next day. So CARE was just taking Rachel Maddow. In fact, in CARE's press release, screen clip from MSNBC. Telling. So the chosen network of the extremist Islamist in America is MSNBC. Just note that next time you may be passing through your cable news channels and you want to get some entertainment or get very upset about the state of some people's thought in your country and how it's being used by people who are pretty smart on paper, right? I mean, Rachel Maddow is a Rhodes Scholar. No one's taking this away from her. She's very academically smart. And you know what that likely means, unfortunately? So far out there left, she can't even read the, like Andy just went through, who's also very academically smart.
Thank you.
The basics. And we could call you a doctor. How many doctors could we call here? How many this and that, which we take out for radio? Because, one, we don't need to constantly wear it on our sleeve, like the MSNBC guests usually have to do, to prove that they should be listened to or that their analysis is correct. But we could on this broadcast go through and do that, those kind of things. It is absurd, folks. It is 2019, and we're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism at every level of our society. Here it's involving a judicial nominee, which means there's something you can do about it. Standing with the nominee, standing with the ACLJ. Donate today and have your donation doubled so we can continue to do this work. ACLJ.org. Enjoy your weekend. Stay up to speed with us at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next time.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online.